a lead from Wiggy. Wiggy, good morning.
Hello and good morning. So we've been talking about the Red Sox and what lane they are in and where they're going. Well, I'm here to help you out and tell you exactly the lane that I believe that they are in. When it first started, I believe they were in that slow lane, ready to sell off everything. Based on where it was the pivot. But based on where they are right now, they're in the middle lane and that left blinker is on. Because they are looking, in my opinion, looking to be buyers come trade deadline, especially based off of the way that their pitching has looked all year long. But I think more so that their offense is starting to, you know, get a little bit of life to it. Players are starting to come around. And so I feel like this team looks at it and goes, because of their rotation and their starting pitching and Bresbot, which he's done a tremendous job.
No, wait till I get to my lead on Bresbot.
And so I think that they're ultimately heading in the direction of they are going to be buyers. Whether they're going to be massive buyers, I don't know. But I definitely think they're going to be in the lane of buying and trying to make a run for it, because after the All-Star break, I believe they're going to feel like the team we've seen in the past several weeks, this is who we really are. And I think that's why they're going to head more in that direction. So it's like pivot back to we're going to be buyers.
Guys, Craig Breslow, the chief baseball officer of the Boston Red Sox.
That was a long time ago.
Good morning, Craig.
Morning, Craig.
Good morning.
Yeah. So there'll be a lot of cheers for Bresbot,
okay,
I think.
So you expect them to be buying.
Yes.
Aggressively buying.
Yeah. I think they will definitely
be going for it.
Yeah. I think they look at this year as like, all right, they don't know what 2027 is going to bring with a potential lockout. And this year they have enough firepower when it comes to pitching to make a deep postseason run.
Okay, well, good segue to my lead. I have changed my mind. What do they say, Mego? A woman always reserves her right to change her mind. Is that how this?
I believe something like that.
That's how the saying goes. I have changed my mind when it comes to Craig Breslow and whether he should stay or go. I believe the Red Sox need to stick with Craig Breslow for another season. I'll tell you why. This rotation, this pitching staff has been A+. Do we all agree?
Yes.
Yes.
And without Cerise.
And that is minus your ace.
Yeah.
And you can't account for injuries. That's not.
And minus Bayo.
Yeah.
Who disappeared completely.
Well, but he may be, if Ronger Suarez is not able to go on Saturday, we'll talk to Breslow about this, but they may be calling Bayo up.
Start him. Get him in the second inning. Yeah. Keep him away.
Just tell him to come to the park late.
Yeah, they should actually call him in the third inning and say, can you get here from Worcester in a half an hour? But Caleb Durbin, who is, you know, we were all over not so long ago. When you look at numbers now, he is basically same as Alex Bregman.
Right.
At, I don't know, is it a half the salary, a third of the quarter, whatever the number is. Wilson Contreras is an all-star.
Yep.
Probably going to hit 30 as long as this foot thing is not a big thing and keeps him out for a while. The guys that Breslow is responsible for bringing in here have been the heart and soul of the baseball team.
Right.
So the issues have been guys that are not his guys.
Right.
Am I wrong to say that?
No, you're 100% right. And
Mago, am I wrong to say that about Craig Breslow?
The only pushback that I would give is that the guys who have not worked out this year, some of them, at least I think primarily of Jaron Duran, are a guy you could have gotten rid of last year when he was here. Like, I think some of the issues with
Alex
Craig Breslow.
Alex Cora did not want to do that.
Right.
Alex Cora was dragging his feet or kicking.
So that's not a Bresbot thing.
He's still in charge of personnel.
Okay. All right.
You know, that's the only pushback that I would give. I agree. It's a good time for Breslow. He certainly needed it after this entire season that he's had. But there are things that it's more like the things he could have done and didn't do that are killing him than the moves that he brought in here.
Now, listen, Game Dog is... Oh, no, actually, I think Game Dog is on my side. Game Dog in the Twitch chat says, 2 weeks ago, Greg wanted him fired. True. But at least Greg doesn't stick with stubborn takes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can change my mind.
Definitely.
It's called being an evolved thinker.
Yeah. Correct.
That's what he is.
That is correct.
And I think the one...
I am oftentimes the smartest person in the room. I have that disease.
Oh, gosh.
I don't want to start that argument again.
Yeah, don't start that one.
Classless.
Be World War III in hand. But I think what Brez Bott is able to do when he goes to John Henry is say, hey, look at the guys I brought in. Look at what we were able to do. It wasn't about me. It was more about, and that's what he's going to do, maybe spin the blame a little bit to Alex Cora. Yeah, hey, I wanted to move on from Jaren Duran, but, you know, Cora vetoed that. He didn't want to. He felt like whatever the reason to keep him around. Now, once I'm able to get my manager and once I'm able to bring in my hitting coaches, that'll be able to turn, you know, some of our offense around.
Okay, but what about the young guys? Because I think that's the other big question for Craig Breslow, is these young guys offensively are not panning out. Apparently, Roman Anthony had to be taught a lesson by being sent down to Fort Myers in July.
We talked about this yesterday a little bit.
More is coming out.
We will get to the audio that is suggesting that Roman Anthony had his hand slapped. And that's why he was sent to Florida. But yes, okay. So,
but
that's not his guy.
No,
I know. But it's but that's supposed to be.
No.
You can't say that's not the guy that I picked, and then also hold that guy up as he's going to be a superstar at the beginning of the season.
No, who?
And last year, we don't even talk about Christian Campbell.
Right.
He's the one who was elevated to the opening day roster last year. He's just stuck in Worcester forever.
When Brez Bott gives you guys, or he then says, okay, these are the guys that we have expecting to do this, then it's the manager's job to make sure these guys are not, you know, painting outside the white lines and doing their own thing. It's the manager's job to make sure that their heads are not getting too big. It's the manager's job to see what's going on with this guy at the plate. Why is he not hitting the way... It is the manager's job, who I think Brez Bott goes, the manager and Alex Cora is not able to do the things we need with these younger players.
Yeah.
We need a different manager.
If you're an Alex Cora stan,
yeah,
I think you have to acknowledge that the team is over 500 with Chad Tracy as their manager.
Right.
And they were not with Alex Cora as the manager.
Right.
So, and Alex Cora had the benefit of having both Roman Anthony and Garrett Crochet play.
Right.
And Trevor Story. That's the biggest thing. And that's what it all falls on Brez Bott, right? And because everybody looks at when they're not performing well, and we gave Alex Cora such a long leash as far as rope that he could be a manager because people liked him. He was great when we talked to him. He's a lovable guy. Fans loved him. And they never really wanted to put the blame on him. And it was always, they didn't do this for Cora.
He was also a good politician that way.
Yeah. And that's the biggest thing.
I mean, you want to talk about how cool a story it would be if they just continue on this streak. It's amazing how many teams were ahead of them in the wild card. Or at least, you know, to get into the wild card. And now only three teams, I believe, ahead. And they're no longer in last place in the division. But this American League is so screwed up and so strange that who knows what will happen. But I do know that Chad Tracy has been doing a pretty damn good job. And right now, the team under his reign has hit 500. And Chad Tracy, who we love having on, he is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, the official supermarket of the Red Sox Radio Network, by Arbella, here for baseball fans, here for good. And by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. Hey, Chad, thanks for joining us, man. It's been a hell of a ride the last couple of weeks.
What's up, guys? How we doing?
What's up, Chad? So what is the difference? I know that's a very generic question to start with, but I mean, we're seeing hitting now. We're seeing wins. We're seeing wins against good teams. Like, I mean, the Sox obviously have been, you know, one of the hottest teams in baseball, the White Sox. And, you know, then there was the Yankees series. Have you noticed, is there anything noticeable that you believe has changed that has kind of put this team on a different trajectory over the last couple of weeks?
I think in big picture terms, probably we're doing some things now consistently that we weren't before. And, you know, such as, you know, the offensive part, it's not just the run scoring, but it's the, you know, some of the swing decisions and, you know, not swinging at everything and taking our walks when they come, scoring early against opposing starters has been a big thing and something we weren't doing before. So when you when you start to pile up some games where you where you're doing some things that you weren't before, it makes you feel as a group. It gives you some confidence knowing like, okay, this is something we weren't doing before. We've now done it for a stretch of games in a row, and we see the results it's giving us. So I just think that there was a lot of different things you know, that were going on offensively that we kept attacking. And we're seeing the fruits of the labor now. So that being said, we have to maintain it.
Chad, it's been a wild ride for Wilson Contreras over the last couple of weeks. Obviously, there was the skirmish and the suspension that was given out. And then he found out he's going to be in the All-Star game. And now we're finding out he's going to be in the Home Run Derby, which I think was just announced. Let me just start with his status as far as the suspension is concerned. What's the latest on that? What have you heard about his suspension and where that stands?
I haven't heard anything, to be honest with you. I know they're working through that. I know there's been results on a couple of the players that were involved on their end. I think, you know, you don't hear a lot on that stuff until it actually comes. Obviously, we're preparing ourselves for if and when that happens. But, you know, usually you don't get much word on that until they've reached a final verdict. So don't know what it's going to be. We're definitely preparing for potentially having to be without Wilson, but we're still waiting.
Happens on the field because, you know, obviously there's some things that you don't want your players to do, but at the same time, you also you understand just how valuable Wilson Contreras is to this team. What kind of discussions did you have afterwards as far as that situation was concerned?
Not a lot. I just, to be honest with you, after that happened, I left the game with him. I was ejected, and I just sat with him, you know. I mean, for about the last inning and a half, watched the game on TV and just sat with him, and understanding of, you know, outside of just the circumstances of baseball, all the other things that were going on in his life in that moment with the stuff going on in Venezuela. And, you know, yeah, yes, like having Wilson on the field for our team is very important. But in that particular moment, trying to see things through a lens of like everything else that's going on in addition to what just happened. So just sat with him and just made sure he knew that we were there to support him, and we'll get through it one way or another. But, you know, haven't had many other conversations around it. He's been absolutely amazing on this road trip, not just what he's done on the field, but the leadership he's taken and how engaged he's been on the bench and helping guys. And he's just been incredible. So keep riding that wave as long as we can. And then as a group, figure it out if we have to play some games without him.
How do you feel about him being selected for the Home Run Derby, and any trepidation at the Derby curse at the end of it?
No, I think it's cool. I think it's good for him. First of all, you know, we had to wait for him to get into the All-Star game. I'm very, very happy about that. I felt like that was, when you look at the numbers, not only what he's meant to our team, but you just look at the numbers in the league, and regardless of position, he's got some of the best offensive numbers in the American League, and you just felt like this has got to happen eventually. So I'm pumped about that. And then obviously the Derby, you know, it's a cool thing. It's a cool thing for baseball. It's one of the most watched events. And if, you know, he's wanting to do that and gets to be on that big stage, that's amazing, an amazing opportunity. So, and I think they're changing the format this year, if I'm not mistaken. I haven't looked all the way into it. This is me as a my own opinion, not a fan of that other format where it's just take as many swings as possible in a 2-minute period. I think it's exhausting. So I think it if they're going back to the old format, it allows you to really enjoy watching each individual home run and a little bit less taxing on the player. But so I'm a more of a fan of that format. But broadly, I think if he wants to do it, I think it's great for the game.
And what are the chances that Sonny Gray might get a nod? Have you heard anything about that still being a possibility?
I haven't heard any. It's another one you don't hear a lot on. I sure hope that to answer your question, I sure hope that the odds are good. You're talking about a 10-1 pitcher with a 2. Whatever ERA, one of the best, one of the best pitchers in the American League, you know, so I'm hopeful, remaining hopeful over the next, you know, couple of days, handful of days that, with all the things that happen in the league with whether it's injuries or players that pitch on Saturday or Sunday that can't participate and drop out or whatever it is, hopeful that he ends up where he belongs as well.
So, Chad, this has obviously been a season where there's been there's been some highs, like the Yankees series, and obviously this last win last night was a great one. And there's obviously been some lows too, and I know that Bill Belichick famously used to use bulletin board material. There was the famous story about how, you know, when they were about to play in the Super Bowl, he found the Super Bowl parade for the Eagles and like read the parade route.
in front of the team before they actually played and got them motivated. Ted Johnson's talked about that a lot. Is there, do you guys, I mean, with all the stuff that's been said in the media, you know, when things were going bad, do you ever use any of that? Is there any kind of bulletin board, us against them material that you introduce to the guys to get them motivated?
I don't think so, no. I mean, I think the closest we've come is I know that Flo and some of the group and Tyler, you know, one of our guys that works in our video, like believe it or not, we put together a video with some of the guys and showed them what Fenway is like when the team is playing well, like at the end of last year. More so because of, you know, over a month ago when we were playing so poorly at home and there was a lot of booze raining down and different things, wanted some of the guys that hadn't been here to get a glimpse of like, hey, if we can turn this thing around, this is what it looks like at this place when the team embraces you, you know, and you start playing the game the way you should. So no, I don't think it was any us against anybody. It was just like, this is what it'll turn into. But as much as they get frustrated, like they'll back you when the team plays well. So we did some of that. But outside of that, no, I mean, you bring up Belichick. My favorite Belichick moment ever was, I think it was Cincinnati, right? On to Cincinnati.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
That one, for me, if you're going to give me a mantra, like I just kept saying to the guys, and I think I've said in the media a lot, is we're worried about today, right? Yeah. Like they keep mentioning, oh, if we do this over the next 2 weeks, I'm like, we're worried about today. Like when you're in our position, the position we were in, and the position we're still in, you don't have the luxury of thinking about, okay, if we get to September, no, it's just, we have to, like today, we have to go out today and our job is to go out and play a good baseball game and try to beat the White Sox today. And then we'll take care of tomorrow and the next day. And that's been kind of what we've been focusing on here lately, and we have to continue to do that.
That's a great story. Who was it who made that video of the Red Sox winning and showed it to
them? I think it was Flo had brought it to Tyler. Tyler Forgione works in our video. He's in there with Brindley and you know, all the time. So brought it to him. He does really good work, and it was like a quick 2-minute video, and I think some of the veteran guys that had been here through that last year spoke in it. And more to answer your question, no, it's not us against anybody. It's more like let's give these people some baseball that they can be proud of, you know. And we've done that here for a couple weeks, but everybody in here knows too, like a day at a time, and we still have 70 some odd games to go, and we have to continue to do this for a period of time.
That's cool, because we had talked about that. There were guys on the team who had never known what it feels like, you know, to do that, and Fenway's a great place, and now they've got a taste of it. And you know, it's like, I'm sure it's addictive.
Well, that was a couple weeks ago. And to your point, like the you know, I think everybody to a man, like that hadn't been here, they got a taste of it in the New York series, because that was as electric as Fenway has been all year. It was incredible, the environment that the fans put forth during that series, and obviously we won all four games. But for the guys that haven't been here to get to experience that and had seen the video before, like, oh, that's true. That is what this feels like when you start to play good baseball here.
Chad, what are the chances Brian Bayo's back in the mix here if you need a spot start coming up?
We'll see. We're talking about a lot of different scenarios. Obviously, getting down to the end of the All-Star break or getting down to the end of the half or getting close to the All-Star break, so there's a lot of things in play there. Obviously, Brian's down there working hard. That's an option. There's length relief options if we need to piece something together. So we have not decided yet on what we're going to do. Also, we have to see how Ranger feels tomorrow. If he goes and throws a side, how does he feel? Are we even going to need a starter or not? Like, there's just so many balls up in the air with that still that we'll make the best decision we can once we know what we're going to have to do.
And with Peyton Tolley yesterday, who had a terrific bounce back for you, he called it the recalibration. How do you decide when in a game like that is the right time to pull him? I think he was at 91 pitches. As the season gets on, will you let some of your starters go deeper?
You know, for me, first of all, like 6 innings and no runs is pretty deep, you know? And I think when you're dealing with a guy like Tolles, who's like, you're still mindful of, you know, young pitchers and workloads, right? So you're mindful of that. And you're mindful of, like, when we get 6 innings and we have a 4-0 lead, do I need to push this guy well north of 100 pitches, which we have done hardly at all the whole season? And are you at a number where you feel like, how much am I asking to do here? And, you know, if I have only about 8 to 10 pitches of breathing room, am I just asking them to go out there and put 2 runners on base just to yank them out of the game? So you have to factor all of those things in when you're making a decision like that, and also factor in a player in his first full season and being mindful of the load on him too. So, you know, I think if we're being fair, like I think, you know, at least in the time I've been here, have shown that, you know, I'm not afraid to push starters. You know, I think evidenced by the 13 or whatever in a row quality starts that we had, and a number of those went into the seventh inning, sometimes the eighth. But each situation's different, you know, and where you're at in the schedule and when you see it, a 4-day break coming up and, you know, and trying to maintain load throughout a full season, all that stuff comes into play when you're making decisions like that.
All right, Chad, you mentioned Ranger a second ago. Like, what once again, can you just clarify his status and how he's doing and what you guys are expecting of him in the next couple of days?
Yeah, he had a little adductor tightness, groin tightness. So, obviously he was removed from the game, was able to go out and play catch yesterday. And really, today he's going to be very light with nothing, and then we'd have a scheduled normal day where he'd throw a little bit more intent and be off a mound tomorrow. Everything's on hold right now until he gets off the mound tomorrow, and we'll see after that, you know, that 72 hours of time where he healed. How is he feeling during a side? And then it gives us a little bit better information to make an informed decision on, is he going to be able to make this start or not? And we'll see how he feels tomorrow and go from there.
And anything back, Chad, from the Roman hand specialist that he was going to see today?
No, he's seeing one today. I have not heard back on that yet, but he is seeing the specialist today in Atlanta. And then just continuing the rehab process and the things he was doing here. He's doing that in Florida, was on his way down to Florida, and he got to Florida, went to the specialist down south there in Atlanta, and he'll continue his rehab but have a better idea with images today if everything's progressing, you know, and are still looking good. So we'll have more answers on that after we hear.
All right. So Chad, finally, I was having a discussion with my friend and I didn't realize that my take on this would have been so controversial, but I was telling him that Major League is the best baseball movie of all time. And he came back at a movie that I absolutely despise, and I will not spoil it for you or taint your opinion. But in your mind, what is the greatest baseball movie that's ever been made?
So you said Major League, but which one, though? There's three of them.
Back to the Minors, the third one that didn't have any.
That one's terrible. That's one of the worst baseball movies I've ever seen. The other first couple are up there. I'll tell you one of the most realistic baseball movies I've seen that I love. It was actually on TV last night, For Love of the Game.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
That's a combination, really good baseball movie / love story. But the baseball portrayal of actual baseball in that movie is as good as I've seen. I thought that was a really cool movie just because the way they were able to make it so realistic. But the Major Leagues are up there for me. Those are a must watch anytime they're on TV.
No question. I got to get your opinion on Field of Dreams.
I like Field of Dreams. Another Kevin Costner movie, yeah. Baseball guy. I like Field of Dreams a lot. I think it's a great movie.
You had to think about it. You had to justify it being good because that movie is not good.
There is a large chunk of that movie that isn't really baseball. You know, like there are spots of it that are obviously based around baseball, right? But there's a lot of chunks of it that aren't. But I think the ending's cool, you know, playing catch with dad under the lights. I like the movie a lot. You know, I like the movie a lot. I think there's other ones I prefer over.
Who is it? John Mulaney does an amazing bit where he talks about that movie. And he's like, so then that one guy, like literally has attempted murder, throwing the kid off the stands. The kid's injured. And then one of the players comes out in order to help him. But because of ghost baseball rules, he's not allowed to go back into the game because ghost baseball rules say that it's completely forbidden. Every time the music would drive up, like they're trying to put lemons in your eyes to get you to cry. I don't know. Yeah. That was the debate I had where he was trying to tell me Field of Dreams is better than Major League. And I'm just like, come on, man. Major League. I thought I knew you, my friend.
Major Leagues. The Major League movies are the combination of the baseball and how funny they are. Those are hard to beat.
No question. As long as you don't complain that Wesley Snipes out of nowhere was replaced with Omar Epps. In the second one.
Yeah.
Like, don't look. No one will notice. All right. Well,
no.
Well, Chad Tracy, good stuff, man. Hopefully this keeps up. You're making it interesting. As I said, it's been so weird how the American League has been. And, you know, despite the way things started, I mean, you're just a couple of games, like four games now out of the wild card. And if you continue to beat good teams, that makes it even better. So good luck.
Yeah, I think it's important. That's important. That part's important. The keep, you know, the part about it, at least, you know, reinvigorating interest, you know, like I think, you know, as of a few weeks ago, people were pretty down on us. So reinvigorating interest around the team is important too. But like you said, I know you were going to wrap, but we have to keep doing it. We have to keep doing it for a period of time.
Yeah, definitely. And it's been, as I said, it's been entertaining to watch as well. Awesome. Thank you, Chad,
thanks,
for coming
Chad.
On with us. We'll talk to you again
you
next week.
You got it.
All right. See you, Chad.
All right, guys.
Red Sox manager Chad Tracy is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, the official supermarket of the Red Sox Radio Network, by Arbella, here for baseball fans, here for good, and by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. I thought my friend had good taste, and then he mentioned that Field of Dreams was the best baseball movie, and I want to vomit.
I don't think it's the best baseball movie, but it does have Burt Lancaster in his last role, Moonlight Grill.
He was, doesn't yeah, but he you, was the ghost it? Baseball player yeah, yeah. who couldn't like go back into the game. But, dude, you're ghosts. You can make your own rules.
I'm not embarrassed
and then
to say.
Timothy Busfield like tried to murder that kid.
Oh, yeah.
He like killed, I mean, like tried to kill a kid, and like everyone's just like, oh, but baseball.
Definitely overrated. Sandlot, however, is absolutely phenomenal.
God, I'm going to disagree with
sappy,
you on that, too.
But it's so good. And Bull Durham's really good, and Moneyball's really good. Those should all be in the conversation.
You know which one is underrated is 8 Men Out.
Oh, that's classic.
Yes. 8 Men Out is unbelievable.
That's Bradford's favorite.
Like, okay, well, then he's got a good day. And Bull Durham is very good. You see, the Sandlot, you know what? I saw that years after everyone had seen it, and I wasn't a kid anymore either when I saw it. And
you don't have to
I,
be a kid to see it.
I know, but it's like, I don't know. When it became a cartoon, like when the big dog showed up, I was,
yeah.
I'm not going to kill it too much because it's a kid's movie. You know, it's like saying Angels in the Outfield sucks. It's a kid's movie, you know?
It's and, not a kid's movie.
I did like the one, what was the one Smalls? Where the kid's arm got like triggered? Oh,
Rookie of the Year.
Rookie of the Year. Rookie of the Year was all right. Like that was your dream come true when you were a kid. Oh yeah, Rookie of the Year.
By the way, sneaky good Dennis Leary appearance in Sandlot. He's like the evil dad, the evil stepdad or whatever.
Who had the baseball that was signed
yeah.
by,
yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah. Listen, as I said, Sandlot's not a bad movie. It's just, it's not my favorite. Major League, the first one, is just fantastic. It's great.
Hard to top.
And The Natural is so manipulative and it's so stupid when he hits the sign and like all the stuff comes down like the lights, but I don't care. I'm into it. Like that's a movie that I know I'm being manipulated. I know it's sap. I like The Natural.
See, some things you go for and some you don't. It's strange.
I know. It's strange.
Like Counting Crows, sappy. You should just give them their time. I mean, you don't think have such a visceral reaction that you walk out of the room when somebody mentions them.
No, just the Counting Crows.
Yet The Natural you're fine.
Around here. Long summer.
I like a long December.
Yeah. Hey,
I'm a sucker for it.
Musician.
I don't know. Who knows? Somebody says Summer Catch with peak Jessica Biel.
Oh, well. Summer Catch.
Filmed right here on the Cape, yeah, if I'm not mistaken.
Got a local time.
Somebody said, if you don't like Field of Dreams, you hate your dad.
I mean, come on. I can't believe your take on Field of Dreams.
Field of Dreams is awful.
It is overrated.
It's awful.
Sure.
Hey, the guy that threw the kid off the stands is now in jail for other things that he did bad.
The dude from 30-something. That's right. And it's funny. It's like you could say, well, you know, The Natural sappy. Yeah, but for some reason I like The Natural. I didn't like Field of Dreams.
A lot of Bull Durham on the text line.
Bull Durham's a good movie. Bull Durham's a very good movie. I like that a lot.
Bears, so Bad News Bears.
Bad News Bears was pretty funny. That was pretty good. It was basketball. Yeah, basketball. I remember basketball. That was all right. That was the one with the South Park guys, and I think Bob Costas got like all randy in that.
You don't want to make a mistake to this man, Sadon, who swings and drives one high and deep and way gone! Sadon! Say goodbye! It is 3-0 Red Sox!
First pitch sweeper! He's got to be looking for that, right? Inner corner, black, 383 feet, but that thing brought rain. It had hang time.
Jones and Keith here on WEEI. Red Sox 8-1 winners last night in Chicago against a good White Sox team.
It's a good Shy Sox team. A lot of former Red Sox prospects on there.
Yeah, most of their farm system is over there. 4 straight wins for the Sox, 9 out of 11. They're about as hot as they've been at any point this year. So we have thoughts on that live today from our brand new, shiny, palatial Ketchus Law Injury Attorney Studios. No fee unless you win. Real quick before we get into the Red Sox, you think they got the terp?
A little bit. I'm like a little afraid.
I think he's...
Yes!
Yeah. He says he doesn't like the trade, but he knows why they did it.
He says he had 10 toes down.
Ten toes down.
He had 10 down. How many do you think are still down?
4? And like the smaller
he's
ones.
Like,
not the big ones.
He's hanging on by a pinky. I think is what it is back there.
Not the thumb toe.
He's got one he's got one pinky just hanging on a cliffhanger style, hanging onto the edge.
Barely.
That's all he's got.
We got him though still for now.
Yeah.
He's still on fighting the good fight.
He claims they were not told anything about Bill Chisholm before the press conference.
I think by before Halloween, we're going to get, actually, Paul George might have a better season than Jaylen Brown.
From Terp, you think we're going to get
that? Not from
Terp. Oh, from someone.
Someone's going to say that.
Yeah. Well.
They are, maybe they already are. Like, if you look at the numbers, look at the analytics.
Maybe they are.
What's his net rating?
Anyway, the smear campaign continues. It's been pretty blatant, I think, today, between Shams and Windhorst and Zach Lowe, who we'll get back into. Zach Lowe basically saying Jaylen and his camp were telling other places they wouldn't go there. Maybe it was Portland. Maybe it was Milwaukee.
But do you think he wanted to go to Philly? Do you think Jaylen Brown wanted to go to Philadelphia?
No.
Yeah,
so do you think he demanded a trade?
No.
It hasn't been reported that he demanded a trade.
No, they would have led with that.
To me.
If that was true, even if it was half true, they would have led with that.
This is the beginning of them letting you know that he may have not explicitly demanded a trade, but he was starting to make things. He was as close to demanding a trade without saying it.
All right. Do you think A.J. Brown demanded a trade?
In his words. Oh, yeah.
A.J. Brown.
Oh, I think A.J. Brown did.
Do you think A.J. Brown also told him what team to send him to?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think Jaylen Brown did the latter. He might have done the former only because he was like, all right, I'm now in all these trade talks. And
no, it's a good point.
Now all these teams are apparently,
you're
shopping me around to everybody. Well, I'm not going to go there. Like, I got to do something.
You don't think A.J. Brown was telling other teams he wouldn't go there and was trying to steer his way to Mike Vrabel?
Pretty sure.
Are Patriots fans mad about that?
No,
so, like, no. I'm not indignant or angry that Jaylen Brown was telling other places he wouldn't go there. He might not want to play there.
On the, like, the
he didn't want to go to Portland? Who on earth? You've been to Portland, Oregon?
I never have.
Place a dump.
I
wouldn't want to go. Yeah, I wouldn't want to go there either.
They got a good soccer team. Right?
Yeah, they do.
Isn't their motto
the Timbers.
Portland's weird?
That
sounds like it could be fun.
No, it's is it
keep
stay
Portland weird?
Stay keep weird? Portland weird, stay weird, something like that. Yeah, yeah.
We did a story years ago on during Kiefer Madness.
It's
the Portland
weird.
Pooper.
It's weird, all right.
Oh, Portland, Maine, remember?
That was a famous one. That was the beginning of the end for Portland.
Yeah. He was a serial pooper. They never found him.
Is it the Porch Pooper?
Different guy.
No, Porch Pooper was Louisville. It could have been.
We don't know. We never found him.
That's true.
That actually could have been the same guy.
Just like some serial killers. If you look at a map, they kind of go like up and down. They travel.
Yeah.
But it's the same guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or gal, but typically guy.
Usually.
Unfortunately. Yeah, white male.
Yeah, I'd say it's usually.
9 out of 10.
I don't want to typecast.
No, but 9 out of 10 if you're identifying.
Three names.
Yeah.
Names.
Yeah.
I've watched enough serial killer shows. It's a white male.
So the smear campaign of Jaylen Brown does continue.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, the Red Sox hot streak continues. Last night, good win. Chad Sox are back to 500, Keith.
It's amazing.
31-31 under Chad Tracy. Somehow, with he keeps losing pieces of the roster. Mm-hmm. Like Contreras is about to get suspended. He's lost Connolly early, God knows for how long. Never mind Roman Anthony and Garrett Crochet, and Suarez might miss a start. Myers on the IL. I don't know how much that one's actually hurting
him. No Trevor Story.
He lost Trevor Story.
That was addition by subtraction.
IKF.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, these are all guys. Cora had every single one of those guys.
Oh, yeah.
And they're somehow better with this guy than that guy. So do that math on your own and square that one away however you have to. But they're finally doing what I thought they would do, which is take off a little bit. It took way longer than I thought. I don't know if they're ever going to get there, Keith, without an exterior move. I mean, Spear said they're going to wait as long as they can to decide if they're going to be buyers or not.
I mean, they got time.
Jim Bowden.
Ralph.
A historically reliable reporter.
Oh, yeah.
Never once had to delete his Twitter account and turn it into an egg named Ralph.
And do you remember
to
what
hide
that,
from a report.
You remember what that one was?
I don't.
He stole a report from somebody, but that somebody was a fake troll. And it was a Marlon Byrd signing. It wasn't even like a big deal.
He blew up his career over a Marlon Byrd signing that may or maybe did not happen.
Turned into a Twitter egg.
So Jim Bowden,
anyway,
I would, trust me, I would factor in, you know, his track record.
Yeah, yeah, please.
But he says they're asking for offense in any trade, which means they're not selling. They're asking to take on, bring back a bat, is what he said. I mean, how hot do they have to get to buy? I don't think they're going to make the playoffs without an exterior move. I've never thought they were going to make the playoffs without an exterior move. My case was go make an external move, I should say, from outside the organization, add, and maybe that puts you over the top. That was my case a month ago. They still haven't done it. What point do they have to get to for you to start believing it?
So I guess you look at it a couple different ways. Is it games back or is it teams in front? And I guess, you know, one, it could be hand in hand.
I think they're both important, but I would lean more games back than teams.
Okay, so they're four games back, but they have three teams ahead of them, and then the team that is the third wild card. So, like, really, you're fighting with four teams. Like, you're the fifth team, if you will, for one spot. Like, that, to me, the numbers aren't good enough on that.
I think their playoff odds are up to 21%, something like that.
Which is way higher than it feels.
Yeah.
Actually, like, I think it's lower than their win streak a couple weeks ago. They were at like 26% then.
Oh, were they that high?
Yeah.
I know.
Like, I told you guys during the break, they haven't gained any games on any of these teams.
Well, no.
No, that's the thing. Is like you dug yourself a huge hole.
No, they've passed. Started, like, to Keith's point, though, if you care about passing teams, they have started to pass a bunch of teams.
That's true.
The Tigers are also now right on your heels, who were below you.
Okay. The Tigers, though, are the same as the Red Sox, where well, and their run differential tells you they're better than the record they've played, right? I mean, last time I checked the Tigers, I believe they're a positive run differential, aren't
they?
They're
actually higher than the Red Sox.
Yeah, they're one of the few in the American League that have a positive run. They're like the Red Sox, where they could probably talk themselves into, well, maybe we're better than we played to this point, and there's something there's something to us being onto it. Like, the Tigers are onto it, just like the Red Sox are onto it.
Yeah, I just I don't think that they're going to be able to pass all these teams over. But you asked me, like, what would it take? I mean, I guess if you're, like, one or two out with one or two teams in front of you, then, like, okay, then I guess you have to give yourself a chance. I just would be surprised if that ends up being the case. I mean, even during this, like, this run that they're on, they have some guys that are doing some stuff that I don't know how sustainable it is. Right? We've just seen Caleb Durbin cool off. Right, Durbin had a really good month last month. He's off to a slow start here. Like Jake Bennett. Jake Bennett's been one of the best pitchers in baseball over the last three or four starts. And, like, I don't know. Maybe he'll continue. He's going again tonight. Maybe he will. Maybe he can ride that high. Connor Wong's on, like, this big kind of, like, hitting streak and has been really, really hot. So, I don't know. I think I'd have a little bit more faith if you were like, Garrett Crochet's coming back and Roman Anthony's coming back stuff. And, like, you're not really getting that. And maybe even more so Roman than Crochet, because the pitching staff has been good.
Roman Anthony's in Fort Myers.
Yeah, so, like, I'm not.
So, like, trust me, I get that. And I think your numbers are about right. If they're two games out and, like, they're only behind a team or two for a wild card spot,
that's way different than five with five.
Right.
Right. And that's what it's been for most of the year.
I mean, they're four out today.
Yep.
But you're right about the teams. They're no longer in last place. They passed the Orioles. If Rafael Devers and the Giants could ever help out and beat the Blue Jays, they would have woken up today in third place.
Hey, Devers is on a little hot streak. He's at 350 in the last month.
I know. All right, if you want to look at his month, his season still stinks, and the Giants are terrible since he got there. And they've been terrible. No, I mean, we can cherry pick.
Had a great month.
Cherry pick any number. We're doing it with the Red Sox right now.
No, but the fact is they're 9-2 in their last 11. No team in baseball is that good over that span.
They're starting to move up is all. Yeah. So how sustainable is it? I don't know. What would it take for me to really believe again? Because I did believe early in the year. Two games out and a couple of teams behind him, I think your numbers are about right.
Yeah.
But what I agree with you on is it doesn't feel like reinforcements are on the way at all. In fact, it feels like they're holding it together, you know, by a thread.
Mm-hmm.
Contreras is about to get suspended. He's been by far their best offensive player.
Yeah, he's been great.
You know, like Suarez, maybe he'll avoid the IL for the second time this year. You know he's going to go on there at some point and miss time. Is Connelly really going to pitch again this year? Where's Crochet? And I don't have to ask where Roman Anthony is because, again, I know they asked him to get the hell out of the clubhouse and go to Fort Myers. Like, I think they wanted Roman Anthony out of their face, which is why he's in Florida.
Yeah, maybe.
So, like,
although one reinforcement, though, slight reinforcement, you'd have to say Romy Gonzalez.
Romy Gonzalez is a slight reinforcement.
And, like, guys like that, but I mean, like, a guy that actually could do what you need help.
You know what? That Cora can cry about that one. Cora did not get Romy Gonzalez. Chad Tracy and the Chad Sox have Romy Gonzalez. That's one Cora can cry about.
Yeah, but that is one, like, when you're looking for, like, a useful piece, or, like, a guy that at least can hit lefties, and they go up against these lefties, they have so many lefties in their lineup. That was somebody that was useful to them last year. They didn't have him, now they have him. And yeah, that by no means does Cora get that. But for this team, when you're looking at, like, all right, what's different over the last week or so, I'm not saying he's, like, the reason why they've won 9 out of their last 11, but that is a slight change to sort of add to the mix.
Well, Red Sox, don't let the Red Sox heat up.
Woo.
So that is five in a row
mm-hmm.
for this Boston Red Sox team. They are the second best team in Major League Baseball on the road.
Right.
And it's a good day for Bresbot to be on because they're going to have a decision to mm-hmm. make. And my fear is, we talked a little bit about this yesterday, but every time they win again, it gets worse. Is that they're going to make some snap deadline decision and part with pieces that you might need in the future in order to try to get yourself a wild card spot and then end up not getting the wild card spot. It's a I'm delighted that they are turning things around and are playing well currently, but it also is an absolute conundrum because I feel like they're setting us up for absolute disappointment at some point here.
I think they're in a position where if they continue this and it looks like they have a really good chance to, you know, before the All-Star break, maybe be, they're already at three games out of that last wild card. They might even be able to get it down to one or two. I think they're going to be in the position to be small buyers where they're like, we feel good about our roster and we might need to add an extra bat, but I don't think you're going to see anything like crazy them doing. But I think there will be small buyers because they're going to say, if we can play the second half of the season after the All-Star break, like we've been playing the last month, month and a half, we're going to be right in the mix. We could be a team that can not compete for a wild card spot only, but compete in the postseason.
So if a small buy is bringing in somebody for the lineup, right, a bat, do they have to part with somebody like Chapman in order to do that? Like, are you kind of riding the fence there where you got to give up somebody who everyone has kind of assumed that you're going to give up for the last 2 months anyway in order to improve your offense and make it a little more balanced?
I don't think... Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, I would say either that or you're going to have to part with prospects.
Yeah, the prospects and I'm so cool with, though. Aren't you?
You
cool?
are.
Yeah, aren't you?
Oh, we just got the update yesterday, though, about how the farm system is moving up in the rankings again.
But that's good, though. That's them, you know, putting a nice fresh coat of paint on the house before they sell it. So I don't mind because think about... When you kind of, excuse me, when you think about the farm system and you think about some players that the Red Sox have, I have no issues with them moving on from these guys and getting guys that you know can come in and you know what they are rather than what they could be. So that's where I'm at with this team. And I think if Bresbaud is able to get this team into the postseason, I mean, isn't that a huge save for him?
Yeah, but there are some, like Daddy Seuss in the Twitch chat, which I am in right now and paying close attention to, who suggest that making the playoffs might be the worst possible thing for this baseball team.
Well, it makes you kind of like the Steelers. Like, you never get out of your own way. You're always middling. You're always in the postseason.
Right.
And you never do anything there. And
but
so
it's two different sports, though, man.
I know, but come on. Sometimes we compare sports over here.
Right.
And it's like, it's palatable enough for fans in the moment, and then they get to the start of the next season and go, wait, we never really get that much better.
Yeah.
But if you look at this team, right, and this is, you know, from the talking heads of baseball, like we've talked to Bresbaud about it, we've talked to Sam Kennedy about it, we even talked to Chaim Bloom about it when he was here. Baseball, you know, people believe once you get into the postseason and you have really good pitching, you can win a World Series, right? So if this team is able to get into the postseason, let's say they are able to get Crochet back, and now you look at their rotation and what they have, I think this organization feels like really confident just because of their starting pitching, their bullpen, and even their closer. Like, we could really do some damage in the postseason.
What?
Well, to me, a problem is that Jeff Passan said yesterday they still haven't chosen a lane.
Right.
So at some point, because you're a week away from the All-Star break, at some point you're going to have to choose a lane. You're going to have to either be buyers or you're going to have to be sellers. And you can't sit, like Mego just said, in that Midland area, straddling the fence, trying to figure out what you're going to be, or you're going to miss out on deals either way.
Right.
2-2, two down, bottom seven, the pitch. Popped up. Jake Bennett just keeps on doing it. Monasterio is back into the shallow right field. He's there to make the play, and he's thrown 80 pitches through seven innings. Red Sox might have found a new horse.
Will Fleming on the call last night.
What was that, Will?
Jake Bennett.
New Haas?
Maybe our Haas of the week.
We got a new Haas.
I hadn't even considered that. If you're watching on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI.
Was he a Haas of the week when they acquired him? I think we at least might made note that he was a good size.
Might have had him in the mix at that point in time, because I remember saying Breslow has a type.
Yeah, he's got good size.
But if you're watching on Twitch and YouTube, you saw Keith and I both perk up when Fleming mentioned that. Hadn't considered that yet. Probably pencil him in for Haas of the week.
He's been incredible.
Jake Bennett, seven scoreless, four hits, one walk, only four Ks last night. but 81 pitches. His season ERA now stands at 2.64. Since he was recalled on June 10th, he has gone 5 innings, 4 runs, not great.
Mm-hmm.
5 and a third, 2 runs, not great.
Take it, though.
Then the next 4, he went 6 scoreless with 9 Ks.
Mm-hmm.
He went 6 and a third, 1 earned run, another 3 Ks against the Yankees. And then his last 2, 7 and 2 thirds, but it was 7 scoreless. He came back out for the 8th. Luke kept pointing this out last night. He's like, I wouldn't bring him back out for the 8th. Remember what happened in the 8th last time? Sit him down at his 81 pitches. So 7 scoreless, 6 Ks, and then last night. He's been on an absolute heater. Again, 2.64 ERA, and helping piece together some of the injuries the staff has made. Peyton Tolley was a replacement for Garrett Crochet when Crochet went down. And Brian Bale being an absolute disaster.
Yeah.
And completely forgotten about until maybe he's going to pitch on this weekend for Ron Hare Suarez.
Maybe.
Which I hope to God not.
Yeah, let's not.
But, like, you completely forget that Bale was shoved out. This guy was brought in. What a move that was.
Oh, yeah. Then, you know, Connelly early, you know, you had him for a bit. Then he didn't. So you ended up needing this guy, which was nowhere on the radar, right? When you're looking at starting 5, then we were waiting for when Peyton Tolley was going to get called up, and then who are some of the other names? Even going all the way back to camp, it was guys like Oviedo, right? Like, it was so many guys that were ahead of Jake Bennett. Then he gets the opportunity to do it, and you're like, all right, maybe this will be like a one-off. Maybe he'll come up, and then he'll be sent back down. But he's been insane. And, like, some of the numbers are crazy, too. When you look at over, like, the last 5 starts, I don't know if there's anybody in baseball as good as this guy. Like, as far as, like, innings pitched, earned run, average, like, the whole thing, the guy's been awesome. And we'll see. I mean, he's another big left-hander. And so this was all about identifying the pitching staff. It's a good combination of old and younger guys right now in their entire staff, specifically the rotation. We're talking about Suarez, Gray, Crochet when he eventually comes back, sort of the old guard. And then you have Bennett, Tolley, Early. So, like, some combination of that, you would think you got a lot of different kind of kicks at the can here of, like, guys who could be really good. And I don't know if he's going to be an awesome major leaguer. I have no idea. But he's another guy you could sort of throw into that mix that he might emerge as a guy you can rely on.
So, look, I remember talking about this trade at the time because it was such an odd trade. It was prospect for prospect, mm-hmm. guys who had not pitched in the major leagues.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of the Red Sox top pitching prospects, Luis Perales, who is 6'1", 160.
Tiny. Put him in your pocket.
He's young. He's 23. Yeah. I mean, Jake Bennett. We'll get to Harrison
in a
moment.
Tall.
He's 6'6", 234. Now, he's 25. He's going to be 26 in December. I mean, he's a good 2-plus years older than Perales.
Mm-hmm.
But we said this at the time in the offseason. This is going to be a big trade for Craig Breslow in his future. Mm-hmm. Breslow has a type. He believes in the extension on some of these pitchers and this sort of frame
mm-hmm.
and not necessarily a guy like Perales. Did they get out at the right time and bring in a guy that they identified? Well, so far, and we're not afraid to do this with other trades.
No.
We buried Caleb Durbin and propped up Kyle Harrison after, like, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So, like,
who had a better June?
If we can do the same thing, if we're allowed to do that with this trade,
mm-hmm.
it's a big-time Red Sox win to this point, and that is Craig Breslow's vision playing out. This frame of pitcher, this style of pitcher, a pitcher with extension mm-hmm. over a guy who maybe throws 100 but might not hold up at 6'1", 160, and by the way, not even pitching well in AAA. So, yeah, this is the kind of move, and tell me if this is hyperbole. It's the kind of move that might save his job.
Yeah, well, I think it's on the list. I do think the fact that the big free agents that he signed, or if you want to even talk about, like, some of the other, like, trades that he's made, I think it's more those guys. You're right, this is really important, and this is what could be his bread and butter long-term. He's want to be able to look back on this. But I still think trading for Crochet and then getting the season that he had, signing Chapman, when at the time they signed Chapman, we were like, I don't know, maybe Liam Hendricks is their closer. Remember, like, we didn't even know if Chapman was going to be their closer, and he's been the best closer in baseball over the last 2 years. And then I really think this year, because they weren't met with a ton of fanfare, Sonny Gray, Ranger Suarez, and Wilson Contreras, I think those guys just stand out to me. I mean, they're all either are all-stars or should be all-stars, and he brought all those guys in this offseason. So, on the one hand, he was getting ripped for not bringing Bregman back, but he brought in these guys, and they've all been way better than Bregman. So, I agree, like, getting a guy like Jake Bennett is good, and he should deserve credit for it, but I would still look at the main signature all-star acquisitions that he's made.
John Lester. I mean, Jake Bennett.
Yeah.
Look at this stat from the Red Sox, Keith. Bennett joins Lester in 2006. As the only Red Sox this century to throw 45 plus innings and a post or a sub 3 ERA in his first 8 major league outings. The numbers are almost identical between Bennett and Lester, 47 and 2/3. Lester was 45 and a third. Bennett, 2.64 ERA. Lester, 2.38 ERA. Similar strikeouts. Lester actually walked way more guys than Bennett did, 29 in 45 and a third innings. Bennett has only walked 8 in 47 and 2/3. They both allowed 3 home runs. So,
sheesh.
I don't know. If he found his John Lester, Keith, that might be enough to save his job.
But he's... I was going to say the run that they're keeping the run that they're on right now, the Red Sox, this guy Jake Bennett, that you got to think about how important it's been, because they dig themselves this huge hole and then they start to face a few injuries, and then you're like, all right, we have to do so much in order to, like, you have to play 7 games over 500 just to get to 500, right? Like, that's the kind of thing that you're facing. And then the days that Jake Bennett's pitching, you're probably like, you know, like, you're just, we need Sonny Gray out there every night. We need Ranger Suarez out there every night. These would be the games that you would probably lose, which over the course of a long season would make it so much more difficult to, like, regain all those losses that you have. And except this guy's doing the opposite. The team has won his last 3 starts, and he's pitching better and better, it seems like, in each one of those games.
Kyle Harrison, by the way, another poor outing last night.
Oh, no.
Kyle. Did not have a good June. 4.62 ERA in June.
No, Durbin had a better June.
His ERA in 2 starts in July is 8.10. He allowed
Hicks. They both suck.
Well, they might. 3 earned in 4 innings last night. He left with elbow soreness.
All right, but one thing I will point out is, Harrison had elbow soreness.
Harrison left with elbow soreness last night. He was really great in May. He was good in April. Nah, he was great in May. He was not very good in June. Horrible in July. Now he's hurt. You understand, and I always understood this. Maybe they picked wrong, but I always understood why they moved Harrison. Maybe Durbin wasn't the right guy to get in return. I'm not even relitigating that. But they had Tolley, they had Early, they had Bennett. And they probably looked at Harrison as 4th out of those young left-handed pitchers. That's probably how they looked at it. We'll see if they're right or not, but that's probably how they viewed it.
That's all they got. Now, one thing I'll point out that I like about Harrison more than Bennett is Harrison, in 83 innings, has 101 strikeouts.
The K's are off the charts.
Bennett, 47 and 2/3 innings this year, 35 K's.
Not enough.
And just to be consistent, that was always a red flag for me with Brian Baio. Everybody told me how good Brian Baio was, how he's baby Pedro, this, that, and the other thing. Didn't strike out a lot of guys, which not every single major leaguer needs to do. But if you're going to be like a top two guy, top even 3 guy in today's major leagues, you got to strike out more guys. So
I agree.
That'd be the one thing I'd point to. Like, that's why I like Tolley and I like Early more than I like Bennett, clearly. But I'm enjoying the run that he's on, and I think he obviously gives you a great chance to win so far every time he's pitched this year.
He only had 4 strikeouts in his first 2 starts, which was 10-plus innings. So I think it's been better since he's come up, but fair. I mean, you want to say Harrison and the strikeouts and the stuff, you like that better? Maybe. It might also be part of the reason, the way he spins it.
No,
part of the reason why he might be going on the IL.
Yeah, it's true. Good point.
So, look, I thought that was a significant trade for Breslow at the time, even though it was 2 prospects that maybe a lot of fans hadn't heard of. I didn't pretend to know Jake Bennett before they acquired him. Perales I was loosely familiar with, just from following the farm system. That could be a big trade for him, on top of some of the moves at the major league level.
Well, also, like, let's see what happens with Ranger Suarez going forward. We already knew the second they brought him in, he misses 5-6 starts every single year. You just hope that you make the playoffs and he's available in the playoffs, because that's where he's nails. And so Garrett Crochet's already missed a million starts. Brian Baio is proven to be not a starter. Patrick Sandoval is going to go today. So it just sort of shows you the importance of Jake Bennett. It's like, it's not like he's up here for 1 or 2 starts. He's already made a bunch, and he's probably going to make a lot more.
Yeah, I mean, look, Twitch chat is making a fair point. They could have had Bennett up here sooner. They could have had Tolley up here sooner. Like, those are both injured. Those were your 6th and 7th starters, if you will. Now you're on to your 8th starter with Sandoval.
I want, but like, it's a little revisionist history, because I definitely wanted Tolley to start the season with the Red Sox, but it was hard at that point to take any of the other 5
out. You really needed to make a trade.
Because Brian Baio was good last year, so it would have been pretty tough to not have Baio. I mean, at that point, we didn't know that he couldn't pitch in the first inning, so it would have been kind of tough to not have him in there. Even if you asked me, like, who's going to have the better season, like, at the end of the year, like, maybe we would have said Tolley, but that's a tricky one.
617-779-7937. A lot to talk about with the red hot Boston Red Sox. Their second 5-game winning streak in the last couple of weeks, and their losses in here, like, 2 of those were to the Rockies. Like, you look at how they played against the Nationals in a few of those games. One of those, they were up early. The other one, they got pounded.
Yeah.
So, you know, I feel like they're onto a little something. Now, every team gets hot over the course of a baseball season. Maybe it's just that. Are you starting to buy in? Should they be buyers? Is Breslow changing your outlook on the way he puts together a major league roster?